Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Congress adjourns for the day without a House Speaker.
A Speaker has not been elected.
And Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin's collapse on the field puts the risk of the game back in the spotlight.
We oftentimes think of football as being this sort of invincible superhero sport. Players are cloaked under helmets and wear heavy padding and almost seems there are these mythical individuals playing, and yet they are vulnerable human beings who are taking on a great deal of risk to play this sport.
Plus, some tips for decluttering your digital life in the new year. It's Tuesday, January 3rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. For the first time in nearly a century, the vote for House Speaker has gone beyond one round of voting, with GOP leader Kevin McCarthy so far failing to secure victory. McCarthy also fell short in two subsequent rounds of voting before Congress adjourned for the day. Lawmakers plan to continue voting tomorrow until a lawmaker secures enough votes to become Speaker. Ahead of the first round of voting, McCarthy supporters criticized holdouts, saying their opposition was self-serving and detrimental to the party. Here's New Jersey Republican Jeff Van Drew.
If we're disorganized and we don't come out there in full force and do things the right way, people are going to believe that we're not ready to rule, that we're not ready to run this country. And we are. We're going to bring this country to a place it needs to be.
And as the rounds continue, we are tracking the latest developments at WSJ.com. Representative-elect George Santos of New York arrived to take his seat today, even as he faces scrutiny over lying about his resume and the possible reopening of a criminal investigation in Brazil. Santos admitted he lied when he said he attended Baruch College and worked for Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. Brazilian authorities say they intend to reopen a criminal investigation into Santos over alleged check fraud. Reporter Byron Tao says Santos refused to answer questions from reporters as he made his way to the House floor.
Are you at all worried about the investigation? Were open into you and your finances.
What is an investigation into your finances at the time?
Well, you can hear reporters lobbing question after question about Santos's background, about some of the investigations into him, and him just remaining quiet as he walks through the Capitol. He was clearly lost. It was his first day on the Hill. He had to double back a couple of times, surrounded by a dozen or so reporters sticking phones in his face and sticking cameras in his face.
Byron says some Republican leaders have been quiet as questions swirl.
In general, there's been a sort of wait-and-see approach with George Santos. Now, we have seen several prominent Republicans and Republican groups say that he owes voters a more fulsome explanation. In one case, a prominent Republican Jewish organization said he's no longer welcome at their events after he claimed to have a Jewish relative, a claim that's now in some doubt. But in general, given the narrow political margins in the House of Representatives, Republican leaders need pretty much every vote that they can get, and George Santos just happens to be one of those votes.
With no clear House Speaker, Santos and the rest of the members of the House have yet to be sworn in. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried pleaded not guilty to fraud and other criminal charges in federal court in Manhattan today. Prosecutors have accused him of stealing billions of dollars from the crypto exchange and defrauding investors and lenders to the trading firm Alameda Research. Bankman-Fried has previously said he did not intend to commit fraud, but he has said he made mistakes while leading FTX. And U.S. stocks started the new year off with losses after a wobbly session. The first trading day of the new year comes after big losses for the major indexes in 2022, including the S&P 500's biggest pullback since 2008. Inflation remains a major focus for investors, with the Federal Reserve signaling it plans to continue raising interest rates through the spring. One of today's big movers was Tesla. Shares of the company dropped more than 12% after the electric vehicle maker said it fell short of its goal to increase annual deliveries by 50% or more. The stock fell 65% in 2022, marking its worst year ever. Coming up, as a young NFL player remains in critical condition, his collapse on the field is once again raising questions about the safety of the sport. More after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin remains hospitalized in critical condition after collapsing on the field last night during the team's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bills said Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest and that his heartbeat was restored on the field. The game was ultimately postponed, and the NFL is now facing tough decisions on how to proceed. Hamlin's shocking collapse is reviving questions about the safety of the sport and the risks players undertake. Joining me now to discuss this is Wall Street Journal sports columnist Jason Gay. Hi, Jason. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Jason, as you write in your column today, this tragedy has reminded us about the human beings under the helmet. So I'd like to start there with some more details about Damar Hamlin, a young player, 24 years old, considered a rising football talent. Tell us more about him.
He's a beloved guy in his native Pittsburgh, especially. He is somebody who grew up as a football sensation in Pittsburgh and then chose to stay and play at the University of Pittsburgh. He said rather memorably he did it because he wanted to be a role model for his two-year-old younger brother who was very young, and he wanted to stick around and be part of his life. He's somebody who was drafted in the sixth round by the Buffalo Bills, not a spot where you're going to be given the kinds of salaries and perks that you see bestowed upon the top picks. But somebody who is obviously an NFL caliber talent and has proven it in this second year where he stepped in because of injuries and has played at a very high level.
Jason, in the wake of this tragedy, there has been a lot of discussion, and that's despite football being a sport rife with physical risks to players, which they accept as part of the role, but a lot of discussion about how this moment was different for players and for spectators. What do you make of that? Tell us your reflections there.
Anybody who watches football is sadly accustomed to the ritual of the game being interrupted for an injured player being taken off the field. We've all seen it if you've watched enough football. Sometimes the injuries are rather minor, but oftentimes they can be rather severe. And we've seen those carts come out. We've occasionally seen an ambulance come out, as it did last night. However, there was something so palpably, clearly urgent about this scenario that made it feel very different than what we're accustomed to with games. And candidly, probably should prompt a little bit of the reconsideration about the way that we just kind of turn the page very quickly during other injuries in games. There is something, you know, rather strange about that tradition.
And even though we don't have all of the details about Hamlin's collapse, including whether he had pre-existing medical conditions, this has renewed questions and conversations that have long been part of this game about the risks players knowingly face on the field. Does this feel like an inflection point to you?
I don't know if it's an inflection point any more so than other severe injuries we've seen in the history of the game. Certainly, it's a moment that people are going to remember. It's hard to know right now as we sit if this specific injury is particular to football contact. Football is a rough, often violent, high-speed game, especially at the professional level, in which contact injuries are just part and parcel of the experience. We don't know if what happened to Hamlin is specific, again, to playing football. So it's a little hard to predict what the sort of outcome will be from that. I do think, though, you know, one of the things that about this is that you will sort of see people properly refocus, you know, some of their enthusiasm around the sport upon the human beings who play it and, you know, play it at great risk to themselves.
What do you think this will mean for the NFL?
Well, I think right now the situation is one of just waiting on hopefully good news. We have had reports that Hamlin's heartbeat was revived on field before he was taken to the hospital. The news is guarded. His condition is critical still. So certainly no reason to sort of stop the vigil that exists around him. I don't think the NFL is terribly interested in engaging in a conversation about what's next structurally. I mean, obviously there are questions that are coming about scheduling and so on, but I think they're regarded as being very secondary, very trivial to the human element here.
The NFL had faced some criticism, including last night, about the amount of time it took to say the game would not continue. What have you heard about that, and what's been the NFL's response?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of that, too, you know, saying, like, why haven't they called this game by now? And it did seem to take quite a while to make that official. The NFL has gently pushed back on that, saying that at no point did they, you know, for instance, command the teams to resume playing, that that actually never happened. You know, in terms of the reasons why it took X amount of minutes in order for them to suspend play, I'm not sure. There are obviously aspects of this involving, you know, they've got the players off the field into the locker rooms. The coaches were consulted, the officials. I think some of the players may have been consulted. I don't think that it was the kind of thing where they were agitating to make sure that this game happened. That does not appear to be the case. This event serves as a reminder that, you know, we oftentimes think of football as being this sort of invincible superhero sport. Players are cloaked under helmets and wear heavy padding and almost seems are these mythical individuals playing, and yet they are vulnerable human beings who are taking on a great deal of risk to play this sport. We don't know specifically if Hamlin's injury can be directly attributable to what football does. Could it happen in another sport? It seems likely it could. I just want to underline for people who love football and watch football that this is a game in which it is human beings, ultimately. And I think that I've seen a lot of that vulnerability in these last 20 hours or so since this incident. And a lot of prayers, of course, for Hamlin.
Wall Street Journal sports columnist Jason Gay. Jason, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Amber.
And finally, thousands of unread emails, resume versions 2 through 11, or maybe dozens and dozens of photos that you don't need. If this sounds familiar to you, the start of 2023 is a great opportunity to clean up your digital clutter. All of those emails, personal documents, and photos don't just take up memory on your phone. They can also cause stress. According to a survey by HighSpeedInternet.com, 62% of Americans said they feel anxious about their stockpiles of digital stuff. So to help start your digital decluttering, our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon has some tips, starting with your photo album.
If you're like me, you might take dozens of sunset photos. You're never going to use all of them or post all of them to social media. So go through them and pick the best one and delete all the others. That way you can just get that out of the way right away. Next, you can go to Albums in the Photos app and select Media Types. So you can choose from screenshots, selfies, videos, and I take a lot of screenshots that I use in the moment and then I forget about, but they're residing on my camera roll and in the cloud. So what you can do is you can go specifically to screenshots or selfies and then delete the things you don't want anymore. And that's a nice, easy way of finding photos that you don't want to have clogging up space.
And don't forget to save to the cloud in case you accidentally delete a fun meme or a dazzling sunset. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.